brings life,
brings life
to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a matter of note to you guys. We need to pray for our government. That things would go according to his plan. That things would get back to, if you want to say, normal, come out of it. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 34, please. Psalms 34. Psalms 34. Look, starting at verse 3. Okay? It says this, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them who fear him and delivers them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them who fear him. The book of Psalms, for the most part, not all of it, but for the most part, King David wrote the book of Psalms, for the most part. There are some little psalms here or there, and maybe a lot of part that he didn't. But David was the author, or King David was the author of Psalms. It says this in verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. God is saying this, and we're going to talk about the scriptures to the one I want to get to. Exalt. Look at verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We as a church, and even as individuals, we're to exalt and magnify the Lord. That's something that God has mandated to the church. Because if we don't magnify and we don't exalt him, who will? The world won't. They're trying to get him out of everything. Even the mention, even the writing of G-O-D or J-E-S-U-S, everything they're trying to get rid of him throughout the world. The one that can help us is what they're trying to get rid of. So we have to magnify him. We got to worship him. We got to tell him how much we love him. We got to express our love for him and do the work that he calls us to do. Now look at this. Verse 4. Now I told my David, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And I sought the Lord and he heard me. Remember this. The enemy will try to tell you that what you're praying, God doesn't hear. Or he'll try to tell us that God doesn't care. That we have to stay in that mode or whatever we are in. But God, the scripture says, O magnify the Lord with me. They looked unto him and were lightened or lightened. He delivers us. That as we look to him, he hears our prayers. He listens. He sees us and listens. Now, you might say, well, why doesn't he answer me the way I want? Well, that's up to him. He's the God of wisdom. He's the God of all-knowing, all-powerful. That's we pray to him, and it is, he doesn't do what we beckon. He does what is best for us.
Amen.
So we need to get out of that prayer mode of what we tell him. We don't tell him what to do. We can remind him of his word, and we can tell him this is what the scripture said. What's that?
Ouch.
But we don't tell him what to do. Now, he's looking for faith in his children, though.
Amen.
To to believe his word and to stand upon it. But we are just mere human beings saved by grace from God above. He doesn't get up on Monday morning and say, what does Pastor Joe think about this today? No, no, no. He beckons the Holy Spirit to come and tell me what to do. Ooh. And what to say and where to go. We are his children. He is not our child. We have those roles mixed up. You ever saw a child being very disrespectful to their parents? I'm trying to tell you, we all seen that in the stores. So you just want to. We had one point to. you see it in the store, you just want to take your nail off and say, let's just go in the bathroom and settle a few things because of how bad it is. You see how ugly that looks? That's kind of the same scenario you want to put when we're telling God what to do. Now, there is prayer that goes forth. We know God wants everybody saved. So as we pray for our family members and we pray for all that stuff, that God's looking and saying, yes, I want to do that in his time. He has to make things happen, doing according to his will. Oh, magnify the Lord. He listens to us, people. He listens to our prayers. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to look to him. But he is our God. He is our King. He tells us what to do. That's oftentimes I hear people. Joey and I were talking to somebody this week, and they would say, they're looking for a church. And they say, we want a preacher. And that's great. Some may want a teacher, but then I told her, I said, you have no choice. It's like we think we have choices. And I said, you have no choice which church to go to. And they looked at me like, what? I said, you are God's child. The Father tells you what to do and where to go and what church to be in. And I said, you are not to look at what's there, what's not there, where it is. Oh, what's going on? It's like she stopped and she just didn't know it. We have no choices in those matters. Now, you go eat somewhere, God's going to have to let you have a choice of which you want to eat. That's not. You want a hamburger? Get a hamburger. That doesn't matter. Get whatever you want. But we have no choices in a lot of these matters. That we have to trust God, that in his infinite wisdom, he knows what's best for us. He knows what is best for you as a family. He knows what is best for you as an individual. He knows what is best. That we put our faith and our trust in him, that he will take care of those things that need to be taken care of. That's the power and the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. How great is he? How great is he? Look at this. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. What a God we serve. Look, he's a God that knows how to make an escape plan. He's a God that when we get in trouble, he knows how to get us out of it. I know probably every one of us in this building has been in trouble at some point in our lives. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for the grace and the anointing and the wisdom of God and what he could do and how he made that escape plan of what to do and how to do it, where would we be today? The Almighty God. We can all go back and look when we first got saved. Gave our hearts to the Lord. In John chapter 3, it talks about Nicodemus. giving his heart to the Lord. You know, a religious man. And that's when we get being saved. We can look at how God has taken us from the time we got saved to where we are today. The things he brought us through. Probably each and every one of us wanted to give up at certain times. Shake your head, yes. Be in church, David. Speak the truth. But you see, the hand of God came in. When the enemy wanted to steal, kill, and destroy, the hand of God came. And because you have to understand, we are children of the living God. That sets you and I apart from every other person or every other group out there. We are children of the living God. We are children of the Father, Him. We are His children, and that sets us apart. Look at this. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Now, that means sons and daughters. When we gave our lives to the Lord, we were engrafted into the vine. Now, we have the privilege of using the name of Jesus. We have the privilege of looking to His Word and claiming His Word, all because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. We have the privilege of looking through His blood, the victory that God gives us. It says that they overcame Him, what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. My God, the blood of the Lamb. No other Lamb except Jesus Christ. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. People, He is an overcoming God. That we can look to Him. We can look to Him. We can look to Him. Because He's an overcomer. And because He's an overcomer, He makes us overcomers. That's the power of Almighty God. That He helps us to overcome things in our hearts and lives as we trust in Him, in who He is. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Don't ever get it. You know how this saying goes around? Where everybody's a child of God. That is not true. That every human being on earth is a child of God. That is not true. The only children of God is the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a child of God. Now, I would hope the whole world would accept Him. But unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not, or you are a son of God unless you accept Him. We have to realize that not everybody in the world is a child of God. Certain things happen that are horrible. Does God approve of it? No. But not everybody is a child of God unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord in your life. Now I want you to turn me, and I'm going to read this. Go to verse 7, because that's the one I want to get you. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about him who fear Him and delivers him. First of all, we got to make sure that we are a child of God. But it says that God says in His scripture that in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about him who fear Him and delivers him. Can you imagine? It's verse 7 of that same chapter. They're pulling it up. They got it up?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them who feared Him and delivered Him. That's the kind of God we serve. That encamps around about us. We don't have to wonder. Look, when you and I gave our lives to the Lord, we are His. He takes care of us. He takes care of us. He supplies for us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. He gives us insight. He loves us. He gives us direction. He encamps around us and also protects us. Probably each and every one of us could go back to a time where we know God has protected us physically. I mean, from whatever situation was happening, or we can say, my God protected me physically, because he camps around about us. But also, we can also go back, and probably may not be able to, but God protects us spiritually too, because that's a spirit thing, that we don't realize the angels that are around about this place today, the angels that are around about our buildings, the angels that are around about our churches, our homes, our families, where we are. I'll never forget, somebody told me they were riding in front of our home. And I say this just because they told me this. And you could take this for your home also. And they were just driving, and all of a sudden they called us. They don't even come here. And they said, we want to let you know what we saw. I said, oh, okay. He said, as we were driving in front of your house, we could see angels go around and around your house. I said, also remember, angels are sent as messengers for us. You never bow down to an angel. You never worship an angel. Anything. They are submissive to God Almighty. And they all come beckoned by him to give words if they need to, or assignments of whatever kind, and to fight off the enemy at God's command. You are never to worship anyone except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. That's all. That's all. Now I want you to turn. An amazing story. Look at this. Amazing story. Look at, turn to, let's see, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. There's 1 Kings, 2 Kings, so. We're going to see here how God used angels. Here. Elisha, talking about Elisha and the Syrians. Elisha was a prophet of Israel, called by God. Elisha was a prophet by God. God raises up prophets. They speak words of futuristic, or what has happened in the past or the present. You know, it could be any one of those things. But the Syrian army, which hated the children of Israel, they hated God's people, the Syrian army. The king of Syria wanted to attack the Israelites and just utterly destroy them. Well, every time they would go to attack the children of Israel, for some reason they weren't in that place, or God would do something that it just didn't happen. And all of a sudden, the king of Syria said, what's going on? Every time, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but four, five, six times, every time we come up with a plan to attack the children of Israel, we go, and either they're not there, or they're somewhere else, or something weird happens that we can't do what we want to do. And once somebody spoke up to the king of Syria and said, well, you know, they have a prophet, Elisha, there, that hears from God. And he tells them the things that you're saying to us and in your bedroom or your bed chambers. He said, what? And so he said, well, we got to get him. We got to get him. And so they found out. They said, the king said, where is Elisha right now? Go and find him and come tell me where he's at. And so they went out and they spied out the land to kill the prophet. Because they thought if they can kill the prophet, they can get to the children of Israel, destroy them. Such lack of wisdom. And all of a sudden, they found out where he was. I think he was in Dover or something. And they went into the land. They went in to destroy him. And as he was in that area, because there was one way in and one way out to that city, It says the Syrian army surrounded it. Surrounded the sea. Now, that scenario there, we would think Elisha's dead. He's dead. He's gone. They will have no more prophet of Elisha. But look what God can do. When all hope is gone, God can bring hope. Get that in your spirit. When all hope is gone, when the devil tells you there's no more hope, there's hope. There's hope with God. There's hope with God. When the devil tells you there's no hope in your family, that you and your wife can't make it anymore, there's hope. When the devil tells you that your kids will never come back to him or to God, there's hope. There's hope, people. There's hope in God. We got to remember that. There's hope in him. When things look utterly like it will be destroyed, that nothing good can come about this, that God brings about a plan that he has set up so that our faith will grow in him and do a mighty work for him. Look at this in scriptures. People. Look at verse 13. And he said, go, this is the king, and spy where he, Elisha, is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about, all around for one man. Can you imagine? And when the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host of tithes compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he, Elisha, said, fear not, for they who be with us are more than they who be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes, the eyes of the servant, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. And we'll just stop there. Don't fear. Don't fear, people. When you start to fear, gets a hold of your mind and even gets a hold of your heart, and you can't function the way God would want you to function. Yes, we know things are maybe not the best in all the world. We know things may not look great, whatever. But don't fear. And as those Syrian army was around about, don't fear. It says Elisha woke up and he looked. He saw the angels of God encamped around about also. Oof. And the fear came over his servant. And he said, he asked the Lord to open the eyes of the servant that he could see truly what had happened. See, people, when things look bad, when things don't look good, ask God to open your eyes to see truly what's going on. And let me tell you, God is in control. God is in control. Look, we've given our hearts to him as we talked about being saved. God is in control of our life. God is in control of your life. He's in control. And he, as we magnify him, he puts his angels around about us. And when he calls us to do something, he doesn't call us and leave. He calls us and goes before us. He calls and makes those crooked places straight again for us. He makes those things available unto us. That's the kind of God that we serve. That will do those things for us. And it says that that Syrian army came in, and at the word of Elisha, struck them all blind. Can you imagine? And he led them, I think it was Samaria, is that right? All the way to Samaria. And their eyes The scales fell off of their eyes. Can you imagine? And they said, should we kill them all? And Elisha the prophet said, no. Let's feed them. They broke bread together. He gave them meat, bread, and wine. And they looked at Elisha, and their hearts were changed. Now, let me tell you, you have somebody coming to destroy you and kill you, and you give them a slice of bread and some meat or some food. Only God can do that for us. See, when things look bad, God can change things around. When things look bad, God can turn things around and work it for our people. That's the kind of God. Because a lot of times God will, remember, God is in control of it all. He will allow certain things to happen so that we will turn to Him and our faith will grow in Him. And He will show us what He can do. Can you imagine the faith of that servant when he saw the angels of God encamped around about Dothan? My God! When he saw them and the veil of the natural was taken off and he could see spiritually. If we could see in the spiritual realm the angels and the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit that is encamped around about this place, it would astound us what God is doing. And how God is moving. Yes, we see maybe a lot of wickedness. But let me tell you, we can see a lot of good through the power and the presence of God and the anointing of God. The power of Almighty God being poured out upon churches and upon individuals and families like never before. The power and the presence of God as we look to Him, as He changes a heart that is looking towards Him. The latter part of those scriptures says, oh, taste and see. That the Lord is good. Taste of the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Look, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. No matter what's going on, we can have hope in our God and hope in what He can do on our behalf. Don't be limited by what we see. Only be limited by our faith in Christ. That means there's no limits in what He can do and what He is doing on our behalf. Now look at this. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. About Jacob and Esau. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahima. You might say, well, why did God show you this? Jacob and Esau, we know, were twins. Jacob left because of a situation between him and his brother. And he was about to meet him again. And he called upon the Lord. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. God took the veil off of his eyes to see Jacob in our Lord. Jacob, you're not alone. I want you to get that in your spirit. You're not alone. That God's almighty power is there to help you. And His angels are there to help us. To win the battle that has been set before us. And Jacob knew that he would have to go and face his brothers. And he was a little fearful. That's just the truth. He was fearful. But God showed him what could happen. The angel said, look, well, God showed him the angels, and so he knew that he could walk and do what God told him to do. That's the mighty power of God. And when Jacob saw it, he said, this is God's voice. God's voice. Look, we put our faith in Christ and what He can do, and no one else. No one else. No one else. That's the kind of Father we serve. In Luke, it talks about the prodigal son. I think it's Luke 15. Okay, this year will be the year that God brings back prodigals. People that have left Christ. But I'm telling you, God is moving on from you again. Probably, honestly, there's going to be a mass revival of people that once knew God, that left God, and said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Maybe something happened in the church. Maybe something happened with you. Whatever it was. But it says, the prodigal son went to his father and said, I'm leaving. I want everything that's mine. He had to give it by law. And he went to an unknown land and lived a riotous living. I mean, he did all kinds of stuff. But he came to his senses one day. And he said, I know my father's servants are even better than God. And he started to walk home. And God, that knew his father's soul, when his father saw him, he ran to him and kissed him, said, thank you for coming back. And that's the spirit of God. I said, Pastor, why are you getting on this? Don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop praying. Believe God. Walked in. Father gave him his ring, a robe, sandals, your son. And all he did was to come back as a servant. But God said, no. You see, sometimes those people that have left Christ saying, I can't go back. But people, we need to be channels where we say, you can come back to the cross. You can come back to the living God. You can come back to a God that loves you. Yes, maybe you made some mistakes. Maybe, and you know you did those things. And it, yes, it's horrible. But yet, we serve a God that forgives. We serve a God that forgives people. Just as we need the grace of God today, those people out in the world, the prodigal sons and daughters, they need Christ's forgiveness and grace and mercy. Let us be channels of that mercy. And let them come back in and into the fellowship of the fold of God. And as they do that, we give out Christ to them. Keep praying for your family. Don't give up. Because I tell you, as we pray, angels are being commissioned to bring words. Angels are being commissioned to do things. Angels are not beckoned unto us to do what we say. This is the channel that we follow. You might say, why do we follow this way? Because this is God's way. We pray to the Father. Through Jesus Christ. The Father commissions the Holy Spirit or the angels to do the work, whatever needs to be done on our behalf. We don't go to angels. We don't go to anything else, but we go to the Father, and the Father decides how to do it. It's out of our hands. I hear people pray, my God, it's like you want. I mean, they just telling God how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, what time to do it, how much money it will take to do it. I mean, all people, come on. Oh, no. We pray to the Father. We know He wants souls back to Him. We pray to Him, and He commissions things to go around. Thank you. Keep praying for your family and friends, okay? Don't give up. They may look bad. They may spend everything. It may look horrible, but that's okay. Keep praying for them, God will bring you back. It's their first love. They may have to lose it all, but let me tell you, I'd rather them lose it all here and gain everything there than to gain everything here and lose out on that. What a God we serve. You may stand, please, if you don't mind. Jesus. Let's pray. You know, I know we didn't pray for our family and friends because I want to do that again. If you would, let's just raise our hands. And this is what we do. We're going to pray for our family and friends, okay? I want you to call out the names of your children that don't know God. I want you to call out your spouse that don't know, that doesn't know God. I want you to call out family that doesn't. Call out their names, people. You're talking to the Father, okay, this day. Father, we come before you this day. And Lord God, we pray for our family and friends. We pray for brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and sons and daughters and aunts and uncles, all these people, Lord. And Lord God, we pray salvation to come to them this day. Salvation to come to them. Wake them up, Lord God. Bring them back to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bring them to you in the name of Jesus. Father, however you want to do it, Lord God, we pray that you will allow it to happen in their lives, Lord God, to bring them to you, Father. In Jesus' name, we claim their souls for the kingdom of God. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you a very important question, people, before we are dismissed. I want to ask you this. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart and life? If you would like to do so today, would you please raise your hand and we will pray with us and let it back together. Anyone else? Let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. I accept you into my heart and into my life. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Elders, would you come and close us in prayer, please?
Father, as we leave this building, Lord, today, help us not to leave your presence. As we leave out today, help us to bring you everywhere as we go in our lives, Lord. Help us in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. I lift up each and every one of your children in here, Lord, that have faith in Jesus Christ, that they would honor you by bringing your word everywhere as they go.